Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Selling a home isn't just about agreeing on the price. Sometimes the biggest disagreements only emerge once the deal has been signed. Well, can you take your designer light fittings that you installed, or the curtains, or the TV bracket? All sorts of questions. They sound trivial, but they are amongst some of the most commonly disputed issues during a property transfer. Well, the good news is that many of these agreements can be avoided by simply knowing what needs to be disclosed before the offer to purchase is signed. To help us unpack this, we're joined once again by Taryn Harris. She's partner and co-founder of Harris Marcus Maklangu Attorneys. Taryn, welcome back. Great to have you in studio. Before we start on the subject, there were a couple of questions last week, which I love, by the way. 061-895-1019. Send us your questions. Don't be shy. There was a specific question around the bond, about paying bonds.
Yes, so I'm going to come to that. But I first have to wish my son, Zach, a very happy ninth birthday.
Awesome, Zach.
Happy birthday, boy.
Very happy birthday to you. Brilliant.
Okay.
Excuse me. I hope he's being spoiled today.
He is. We've got big plans today.
Okay. That is great. That's what we want to hear, because we love birthdays. Nothing wrong. Right. Let's talk about bond repayments.
Okay. So there was a question last week, which I quite abruptly said, look, it doesn't really matter provided you're paying more into your bond and not missing deadlines in respect of interest. And there were a couple of listeners specifically who messaged in with slightly different opinions on this, stating that if they gave the provisions of the bond and the term and the loan, and they said if you pay early on in the month, the closer to the first, you actually save on interest because it's calculated daily and compounded monthly. And yes, that is true. It can make a modest difference, but it depends on how your bank actually calculates the interest. In South Africa, most home loans charge interest daily on the outstanding balance, even though repayments are usually debited monthly. Paying earlier in the month reduces your outstanding balance sooner because interest is calculated daily.
Okay.
You'll pay slightly less.
Right.
Than if you were to pay at the end of the month. So this is great, except, you know, at the end of the day, you have to realize the bigger impacts for saving money come right back to what I originally said. Yes, if you do pay your monthly installments sooner in the month, you will save money.
But that's a small amount.
It's small. If you take your bonuses, any extra money you have, and you put it into your bond, your substantial savings will be seen by paying your bond even a little bit more. Even if you pay 1,000 or 2,000 rand more per month, you're going to see a more substantial savings. So I don't want to discredit your listener, because they did have a good point. Depending on which bank, some banks don't calculate it this way, but it's a good idea when you are going to get bond finance to ask. Does it make a difference?
And
ask your bond originator, ask your bank, does it make a difference if the debit order is at the first of the month or at the end of the month? Some banks, it will not make a difference. Others, it will make a difference.
Great. And that is awesome. Hope that was helpful. 061-895-1019. Let us know, and let us have your questions about what can be taken and what remains in the property. Let's start with the basics. What does the law consider a fixture, and how different is that from something that's regarded as movable?
Okay. So the law has changed over time. Fixture and fitting used to be, how is it actually fixed or fitted into the property? Can you physically just remove it easily? Sometimes a fixture can mean a simple unscrewing of something. Others, it requires a substantial more amount of work to actually remove the fixture and fitting. Unfortunately, the way the South African law has evolved, it comes down to the intention. And that creates a lot of problems. Is what it was the actual intention of the item to be put in the house? Was it intended to be a movable? Is it intended to be a fixture and fitting of the house? Now, obviously, that creates problems, because the buyers and sellers will have a different idea of what a fixture and a fitting is. If you get a beautiful chandelier, as I was explaining to you earlier, and it didn't come with the house, you still have the original light fitting. But you know, it's a family heirloom. It gets gifted to you or willed to you. You put it in your house. You never intend for that beautiful chandelier to remain with the house. But the buyer comes in.
Well, how would they know that?
They view that. They view the house. They see this gorgeous light fixture, and they think it's being sold with the house. So now, if the seller never discusses it, and the buyer views the house with it there, then what? Who does it belong to? Is it a fixture? Is it a fitting?
Right.
So generally, the rule is, if it is intended to remain with the house, a built-in cabinet, a built-in fridge, a unit like that, light fixtures, unless they are specifically stated in the offer to purchase as not being sold with the property, they are sold with the property because it's what the buyer has viewed. So it's a very good idea for a seller to tell their agent, listen, I will replace this light fixture, but it cannot be sold with the house. Because otherwise, you come down to, what are you actually advertising? I don't know. You are, I would say, my contemporary. You're a little bit older than me.
Right.
But there was a movie that came out in the late 80s called Moving or Moving Day. And it was with Richard Pryor.
Yes, I
don't
remember.
Know if you remember it.
I do remember it.
And now I'm showing my age a bit. But essentially,
okay. Yeah.
This family went to move into the house. And when they went to view the house, the seller took them around and said, I'm taking those doors and I'm just joking. I'm taking this. I'm just joking. And when Richard Pryor and his family went to move in, the doors were gone. Everything that you could possibly remove from the house was gone. They literally bought an empty shell. So that's taking it to an extreme.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a question yesterday. Can you remove a creepy crawly? And what if you've installed a heater into the pool and it's not disclosed that the pool is heated? Can you remove the heater now for the pool? So there's a lot of
these are things,
items that you don't deem to be contentious.
Right. I wouldn't have thought it's contentious at all. I mean, I would think a heater for a pool remains as part of the pool.
You would think so. But what if the buyer didn't know the heater was there?
Right.
You put it in, let's say, 6 months ago and you've decided to take it with to your new property.
Right. Yeah, it's so how are these things adjudicated? Because so many of them, I mean, there's ones that are clear, you know, the clear ones, the built-in cabinets, the light fittings, all of that. Certainly in South Africa, I would imagine it's clear. But when it comes to other things, how do we deal with them?
It's a tricky one. You have to go back to the parties. Generally, it will go to the estate agent and the attorney.
Yeah, I would imagine they've got a lot of responsibility here.
And the estate agent will say, look, when I came to take the mandate and you took me through your home, you never mentioned to me that you were taking, for example, the chandelier with. When I presented this home and showed it to the buyers, they saw your home with these fixtures, and therefore they belong with the property. So then what generally happens is a seller will say, listen, I will replace with something similar. And obviously you won't be able to go out and get a standard light fixture. You'd have to replace it with a chandelier. Or you have to give a monetary value.
Compensation.
So the buyer can go and buy what they want. It becomes very difficult.
What about things like curtains, curtain rails in South Africa?
So curtain rails are generally sold with the property.
Mm-hmm.
Curtains are generally not, unless it's something that's specifically stated. Which is a funny thing to me, because when you move homes, generally the curtains are fit for a particular space.
Yeah.
Unless it's a... You know, the windows are different sizes, dimensions, the walls. But generally, curtains are sold, not with the property.
And things like in South Africa, we have those, some people have these beautiful ovens and hobs that are actually not fitted. I mean, they are because they're connected.
But they're standalone.
But they actually stand alone.
Yeah. Again, this is something I would really state. If a seller is wanting to take it with, that it doesn't belong with the property, because it can affect a purchase price. You know, you don't realize it, but you get ovens that are, you know, 80,000, 100,000 rand.
Absolutely.
You know, these imported, beautiful standalone ovens, and it can change the value of what you're buying. You think you're buying it with all these expensive features, but in actual fact, we recently had another transfer, it isn't one of mine, where the property actually had a movie theater in it. a cinema theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And the seller were taking the chairs out and the projector, and the buyer said, this is not what you sold me, a theater.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you haven't sold a theater, you've sold a room.
So there's disagreement going on about what actually they bought.
Wow.
What is interesting to note, financially you can save money because you pay transfer duty on immovable property. So if your property value is, let's say, 3 million rand, and you state specific movables within the property, so your normal fixtures and fittings, the pool equipment, the garden equipment, a lot of those sorts of things. Anything else, if you state it separately in a separate part of the agreement for movables, you do not pay transfer duty on. You only pay transfer duty on the part that's actually the movable property. So if you are looking to buy furniture from a seller or specific items, it's better to put those items separately to reduce the value of the immovable or the entire package you're buying, because you only pay transfer duty on the immovable property value.
Okay. So that's actually a very, very good way to reduce that. Unsigned says, when my previous landlord sold the house, they took all garden fixtures and ornaments, benches, little statues, even the hammock.
Yes, I would say...
Look, it's good that they take the little statues. Nobody wants those.
The gnomes in the garden.
Gnomes. Exactly.
Look, it's a difficult one because, you know, is it a cement bench that requires, you know, 7 men or 10 men to move? Is it a wooden one that 2 people can easily lift out? So again, you have to look at what is the nature of the fixture and fitting. You know, we've had people who have horticultural, and plants.
Plants. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a lot of people design their gardens with various pot plants that are planted, but it's very much part of the garden, but you can lift it up if you choose to.
So normally potted plants you can remove. Plants or trees that are in the garden where the roots have taken root in the soil. And this goes back to Roman Dutch law. I mean, this is the evolution of property law for fixtures and fittings, are deemed to be in the property. However, having said that, if it's the intention of the seller to remove it, as long as they disclose that up front, so the agent knows, saying, these 6 plants or these potted plants or this area of the garden, I will be taking those with me. As long as it's disclosed, then there's no problem. Because then everybody knows.
Then everybody knows, exactly. Firstly, Mike says, thanks for remembering to answer my bond question. I'm glad you were listening, Mike. That's great. And Rene says, so everything one takes out of the home should actually be put in the agreement.
Yes, within reason. I mean, obviously, if you don't need lists and lists of items that you're removing. But as you say, I mean, you made a great comment to me. If you take a home and you could physically turn it upside down and shake it, what would not fall out? Those sorts of items you need to think about. Am I taking them? And if you're not sure about curtains and you really want them, make sure you say, no, the curtains are
not
coming with. Just in case
exactly.
A buyer, you know, they believe, you know, you don't know what type of fabric's being used or if they deem it to be included. So the best thing to do is just be clear and make sure your agent and your buyer and everyone knows when you're signing what is not included as part of the house sale.
And I was going to say to you as we end off, what is the most important advice, both for buyers and for sellers in this regard?
So I think from a seller's point of view, those specific items, I mean, obviously you want to keep the value of the home you're selling. You put in certain features and fixtures in order to get the price you want, is to make sure that those that are very important to you that you want to take with are disclosed. And from a buyer's point of view, when you walk through a home, if there are specific features that stand out, make sure they include the following: the pot plants in the front, all the light fixtures, or whatever you're wanting to take with.
That is where we leave it. If you have any further questions, send them in and we will pass them along because such a, I think, an incredibly valuable slot, this transfer talk with Taryn Harris, who is a partner and co-founder of Harris Marcus Makhlangu Attorneys. Today, talking about what we can remove from the property and what we cannot. Taryn Harris, thank you as always.